Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. I'm David Todd, and it is Season 8, Episode 6. And Dave, we got some real football going on tonight. Let's open up with the significance. We talk about this every year. Let's just get into it. The significance of these games and how meaningful it is versus what's been going on the first 2 weeks of preseason.
Well, you know, I think it's obviously you want to see your guys go against, you know, different guys. You know, going offense versus defense is fine during training camp, you know, with your own team. But I think Kevin Colbert put it best during one of his recent talks, saying, look, you know, is our offense good or is our defense bad or is it vice versa? It's so hard to tell when you're going up against each other in training camp. So it's good to kind of put yourself in a different situation against a team and that you don't see on a regular basis. That's going to throw probably a few different wrinkles against you and see how you react. And also additionally, you know, we make fun of it probably a lot because he keeps reiterating it, but you know, Mike Tomlin constantly saying, you know, want to see these guys under the bright lights of a stadium and that kind of thing. I think there's a little bit of merit to that as well, too. And specifically, you know, Mike Tomlin a few days ago was asked about Cody Sensabaugh, and he was asked how he's been doing running with the first team, you know, this past week, because obviously they have so many cornerbacks out. And in so many words, Tomlin said, he was asked something along the lines of how he's performed or how he's looked or something. He didn't get a vote of confidence from Tomlin, but Tomlin followed that up with saying, look, he's a competent guy and a guy that'll be, you know, that's prepared on game days. So I'm really excited to see him, you know, under the lights and playing in his first preseason game. So, yeah, you know, a lot of nice battles going on the back end of the roster. I mean, and at some point during the preseason, you're going to obviously want to get Roethlisberger and Antonio and hopefully Le'Veon Bell and a few other guys some reps. But hey, nobody's more excited than preseason game number one than me, I'll tell you that.
We talk about it every year, how you and I are the, you know, two of five people who are interested in watching these first two games. Kevin Colbert talked about Le'Veon Bell, made some comments, and I'm not surprised at Kevin's comments, but I kind of dismiss them as just being PR type of comments. What did you think of them?
Yeah, you know, do you know what page of the general manager handbook that's on?
Right. Exactly. I think it's page 6.
Page 6? Is that page 6 under section 6? Or how to deal with holdouts, with franchise tag holdouts? Actually, that would have its own section. How to deal with franchise tag holdouts after the deadline date has passed. To give them a long-term deal. That's a large heading, but that's about as specific as it is. Yeah, look, I mean, a Pro Football Talk tried to frame it like the Steelers are angry. You know, is there a reason to sensationalize it like that? Absolutely not. I mean, Kevin Colbert and so many really has been saying the same thing with just a few different words, you know, since July 17th there. The team obviously would like to get him in camp. Now, you know, how much merit is to, and here's a quote, you know, that I'll shoot back to you. Here's what Colbert said. So it hurts him not to be here. All right, we can debate that. It hurts him because
it doesn't.
Okay. It hurts him because he's not working with his teammates. He's not getting the conditioning work that he's going to need to have a great 2017 season. You buy anything in
nothing yet. Nothing so far.
Okay. And he's not getting he's not working with his teammates to get acclimated to the offense. Every year it's different.
Zero. None.
All right. I think
do you agree?
As long as he gets in here by the end, you know.
Right. By week 3. After the second preseason game, everything's fine.
Either right before the third preseason game or right after the third preseason game. At least give him a couple of weeks to get in there. And I think Todd Haley gave an interview this past week saying, "Look, I'm not worried about him not knowing where to line up and, you know, this, that, and the other." He's going to catch up quickly. If it gets into that fourth game, preseason game territory, he's still going to start regardless. It's not going to change the fact that Le'Veon Bell's not going to play in the opener and probably touch the ball 20 to 25 times. Having never played at the professional level, you know, the conditioning level versus regular.
Yeah, no, I can't. I mean, we saw Artie Burns and Sean Davis step in, you know, miss time, get in. These guys are rookies who never had a much more complicated thing to do and acclimate and be involved immediately. Le'Veon Bell has zero issues with any of that stuff.
All right, then why should Colbert even say what he has said? Shouldn't he just said?
Don't know why he did. I'm actually a little bit surprised he said what he said. I understand the PR value of it, just, you know, for the next guy, but I'm actually surprised Kevin said what he said.
You know, it's not gonna.
But if you get asked the question, you have to answer it. So.
Yeah. And like we said, this probably comes straight out of the general manager's handbook. But even so, it's not going to all it's doing is driving the fan base, putting a bigger wedge between some of the fan base and Le'Veon Bell. You know, I think now, does that kind of pressure on an athlete cause him to sign his tender that much sooner? I doubt it. I mean, he's doing what his agent tells him to do anyway. The thing is now, look, there could, is Le'Veon Bell angling for more single season money? Because, you know, even though he can only play under a 1 year deal this year, he can obviously still negotiate.
Yeah, that's not happening. Right. I mean, we know that Steelers aren't changing the money this year. It's 12, whatever it is, 12, one, what is it? 12, five,
12, it's 12, one, five, and 12.12.
12. So, okay. So it's, that's not changing.
Right. And we know that. And also, he can angle to say, look, I'm not going to sign my franchise tag unless you put in writing that you won't franchise tag me again. Well, the Steelers aren't going to get strong arm. Nobody's going to hold them hostage, you know, Kevin, right. Colbert or Rooney. And I think Colbert, as much in one of these interviews, said, you know, we're not going to relinquish any of our tools or rights, you know, when it comes to players. So, you know, there really is nothing for Le'Veon Bell to gain outside the fact that he's guaranteed not to play or practice
for a couple weeks.
Yeah. And we'll see where it goes from there. Now, once he gets into camp, everybody will kiss and make up. And here's the thing, though. Can you imagine what happens? And even if it's freak or what have you, if he gets in here and pulls a hammy in that first preseason game and misses the first, you know, the next two or three games, can you imagine what the Twitter machine will be like?
Yeah. I mean, look, obviously, I don't. I mean, he can pull a hamstring any time. And it could be week six, or it could be, you know, week two. It could be during, you know, his first practice back. So I mean, I'm not gonna read anything into anything like that happening. The idea that Kevin says that he kind of made the conditioning that he brought it up is just seems odd to me. It just seems odd that he would, you know, say. I mean, Le'Veon Bell's doing running sprints. He's doing what he's doing. He's not sitting on the couch eating chocolate ice cream, you know, all day long. It's not what he's doing. And you know what? And he's 24 or 25, whatever he is. It doesn't matter.
If you're going to make a statement like that, you know, it hurts him because he's not working with his teammates. He's not getting the conditioning work that he's going to need to have a great 2017 season. Drill it down. You know, give me more than just that instead of a blanket statement.
Yeah, it's like, look, the playbooks, you know, we take for granted the playbook, but the playbook is more important than, you know, whatever. And he's got to know this, that, and the other thing. The fact of the matter is, if you were going to take any guy, if we were going to take Dave Bryan and put him on the Steelers and say he's got to play week one, what position should we have him play? You don't play running back if you wanted to have him actually play the easiest position in terms of understanding what he's supposed to do. Running back's is as easy as it gets.
Oh no, you don't. You're not putting me in there.
yeah, we're putting you in at running back.
Oh no, you don't.
We'll run a fullback for you though.
No, you're putting me at left out. my knee, ankle. I've got more injuries than Ben Roethlisberger has. plus I have mental issues on top of it. So
just to make it easy.
Yeah, but
Kevin brought this up.
The next time here we are walking all over each other. The next time I have a player on, I'm gonna ask him if there's a difference between, and I have a feeling I know what they're gonna say, but you know, if there's a difference between conditioning on your own versus, you know, getting some serious work during training camp and the preseason and all. But you know, these guys will obviously probably defend each other's decisions, and they should. You know, they're on the same side of the fence there, but. You know, yeah. I mean, I'm okay with Kevin Colbert saying all that. Just drill it down and tell us specifically why, you know, you think getting the condition work in Latrobe is different than him getting it in Miami at Bomarito Performance System, and how not getting acclimated with his teammates. You know, I mean, it sounds good when you look at it in quotes and all, but you know. I mean, this happens year in, year out. Players hold out. They come in, they get right to work, and off they go. I mean, has there ever been any studies on players or running backs, you know, that miss the first 3 weeks of the preseason and how they wind up, you know, doing, you know, it would be such a small sample size anyway, right, that you couldn't draw any conclusions from it.
Right. I agree. Okay, so – Josh Dobbs. We haven't talked about Josh Dobbs much. He's going to get the start tonight. I saw your tweet the other day, and I got a good chuckle out of it. Twitter's going to react. The Steeler Twitter fans are going to react to Josh Dobbs' performance. He's going to be the third string quarterback. He's going to start this game. He's not going to start the next game, but he's going to play the next game, and then who knows how much playing time he's going to get after that. What's Josh Dobbs' career trajectory, would you guess, today?
I obviously knew more about Josh Dobbs after the draft than I did before, and watched all of his games last season, and you know, charted a lot of things and all. I think he's obviously got a great chance to be a solid number two for his entire career.
Josh Dobbs over or under 5 career starts in the NFL.
Wow. Number two, a great number two to me is his floor. I'll put it to you that way. I think a better than average number two would be his floor. His ceiling, yeah, I think he could start over five games in the NFL.
How many has Landry started, do you think, in his career so far? Has he started five yet?
What is it, three or four?
He had to start the Cleveland game at the end of last year.
Well, the Chiefs one, he had to start that Chiefs one, a few years ago. That was his first start.
He started against the Patriots, right? Last year.
Right, he started.
So that's against, three right there. We just threw out.
He started two against the Browns. One he had to come out right away, and Ben went in. He started four games so far. Two of them, I think, against the two against the Browns, one against the Chiefs, and one against the Patriots. Right.
Yeah. So he's had four career starts.
Right, and that's in four seasons. So, I mean, I think now will those five career starts come in Pittsburgh? Well, I mean, it's obviously
right.
You know, it obviously depends on injury, health wise, and whether or not he's Roethlisberger's going to retire or not. But let's see, this is 2017. Roethlisberger signed through 2020. So 17, 18, 19, 20. Dobbs would obviously have to get re-upped by 2021 if Ben played out his contract. And then go from there. I think there's a chance he starts more than five games. It's just,
He doesn't start five games with the Steelers.
Yeah, I mean that's definitely a tough bet to place right there because of Roethlisberger.
He's not going to start any this year, right? He's not going to start a game this year. Landry's going to start any game that Ben doesn't start.
Yeah, if he starts this year, something's gone wrong somewhere. Next year, obviously if Dobbs gives you some confidence this year, then, look, Landry's cheap enough right now. You could even keep him as your number three, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it'd be interesting how that works. That's only going to work if he's under contract. I don't think he's going to sign to be the number three in Pittsburgh. But, I mean, he's, I've said all along that
Landry's under contract. He's under this year and next year. Right. So.
Yeah. And the deal he signed was exactly the deal I would have signed him to. I mean, I'm totally fine with that. That's the kind of deal you sign an average, number two guy to. And he's that guy. And, I don't know if Josh Dobbs has more upside. I mean, look, if the roles were reversed and it was Landry Jones they drafted this year, people would be excited about Landry Jones because you hadn't seen him. And then, obviously, people were disappointed with what they saw the first couple of years of Landry Jones. But I think the guys, he's acquitted himself just fine. When he's been asked to play, he has played as expected. Not better, not worse. He's just as expected guy. And to me, he is, he's a perfectly fine guy for that role.
He's obviously not a guy you want starting eight games, but he can come in, I think, and get you a win or two. That's where you're at with Landry Jones. And if you can get Dobbs to that point, well, then he should become your number two, I think. But, are you going, regardless of what happens with Dobbs this year, are you going to cut Landry Jones just for the sheer reason to save, let's say, $1 million in cap space?
No, because they've done well enough to manage the cap, and that $1 million doesn't matter, and that's not a place where you're going to do it for $1 million. You cut Arthur Motes, you cut Darius Hayward-Bey, whatever. You'll find $1 million somewhere else before you do that.
Yeah, I agree. So, I think you have your three quarterbacks for at least through – the 2000,
the next 2 years.
Yeah,
next 2 years.
Through 2018, and then you let the chips fall where they may anyway. And who knows, let's say Ben Roethlisberger steps away after this season. It sure would be nice to have, at least a guy with some experience there even if Dobbs becomes your starter, at that point. Hopefully we're not getting into any situation like that. But, hey, I'm excited to see Dobbs. You know, I was reviewing a little bit of the post that I wrote on him, the several posts that I wrote on him during the offseason here, and he did some good things. You know, the things that what are you looking for the most out of Dobbs tonight? A, not throwing it to the wrong uniform. B, just, you know, general getting the team in and out of the huddle and control of the offense and nothing bonehead, making sure you have people lined up in the right spot. Obviously, accuracy and all, but I mean, we're not going to know a lot of times if some of these wide receivers aren't, you know, are doing what they're supposed to do. Just nothing silly or stupid. And you know, he's gotten in trouble in the past of running around and going backwards and throwing off that back foot. He's got himself in trouble doing that before. But on the flip side, you know, you go through a lot of his game tape, especially last year, he didn't get a lot of help from his wide receivers, David. You know, so many drops. And, I'm excited. I think he can use his legs to his advantage tonight. And we're going to go over some bold predictions here later on in the show for tonight's game just to have a little bit of fun here. But I think he's going to use those legs tonight as well to keep, you know, when things break down or whatnot. But I'm really excited to see him, and I'm going to be charting every one of his throws, you know, in the next 24 hours and snap to release times and all that kind of stuff as well, too. So, I mean, is there anything else that I missed on that you think?
No, I would have said exactly what you said. Knowing the playbook, getting in and out of the huddle, you know, as you said, throwing to the guys in the right color jerseys. That's it. Just showing some command and some presence, and you know, seeing if he can run the offense. That's exactly what you're looking for him tonight. In the, you know, where he's probably going to play what, first half, maybe some of the third quarter, and go from there. And it'll be interesting to see. I'm interested to see. Mike talked at his press conference on Wednesday that, you know, all healthy bodies, but, you know, he ruled out Ben, he ruled out AB. We'll see if James Harrison plays at all. So he may not play at all. But so some guys are going to play. So we're going to get a chance to look at some guys, which will be entertaining. I always debate this, and we talk about how long the preseason is. It's four games. How long should it be? People want to have it be two games. Are the regular, you know, I don't know how much Pouncey is going to play tonight, but are you playing guys a quarter? Are you playing them a series, or what are you doing with your starters?
Yeah, I mean, and I don't think Pouncey's going to play tonight. In fact, here's the long list of injured players who might not play tonight. Landry Jones, Artie Burns, Mike Mitchell, Sean Davis, Cinquez Golson, Cameron Sutton, Ryan Shazier, DeMarcus Ayers, Marquise Pouncey, Keon Adams, Anthony Chickalo, James Conner, Alejandro Villanueva, Justin Hunter, Trey Williams, and Sammy Coates. And you know, you can throw in James Harrison in there with the concussed birth certificate, if you will. You know, as far as starters go, I want to see maybe the ones that do play two series, I think, is plenty, and get them out of there. You know, get them lathered up a little bit, get a good six to 10 to 12 plays out of them and get them out of there.
Yeah, I think that's right. I'm a series or two type of thing. And we'll see guys that, you know, probably in the fourth quarter, guys that I won't know the name of, be out there in this one. But yeah, that's it. So let's go to Mark Tabor's.
Real quick, let me ask you about Dobbs. I mean, obviously this is your number three quarterback, and how late? Let's say Roethlisberger and Jones were playing in this game, and Roethlisberger came in and got the opening series. Landry Jones would come in and
which will be next week. Next week, Ben probably maybe gets a series next week.
Okay, and then let's say Landry Jones was healthy. He would probably play out the rest of the first half. And then then Dobbs would play, well into the fourth quarter. and then Bart Houston would come in and mop up. What I'm getting at here is being as how you don't have Roethlisberger and you don't have Jones tonight, I really would like to see Dobbs play 3.5 quarters.
Yeah, I think he'll play into the third quarter. I think you'll see that. I think Bart, they'll make sure Bart gets a series or two, and that'll come game situation. But I would expect Josh Dobbs to play three quarters.
Yeah, that's really what I'm hoping for tonight. I mean, why not get a long look at him during this preseason? You know, I mean, you already have. Yes, you want to get Landry Jones some work at some point here. Does he need 240 snaps like he's had in the past, you know, preseasons? No, but I mean, I think a good, 110 snaps for Landry Jones should be enough.
I'm not worried about him knowing the playbook or anything else. I mean, he's set. So it's just maintenance is the way I look at Landry Jones. He'll get plenty of, he'll get four quarters, five quarters, six quarters at least during the preseason. So I'm not worried about, you know, his time or what he knows.
All right. Real quickly, some, you know.
How about Martavis Bryant? Do we know why this took as long as it took? Do we know anything more? Or are we just all kind of in the dark here?
We're all just guessing still of what exactly I think. What was the holdup? I mean, clinical resources, this, that. We don't know, and he's still not completely out of the woods yet. I mean, this is going the timetable that was released way back in, what was it, April. You know, now they'll see how he does and make a final decision about full reinstatement, you know, right before the start of the regular season. The only difference now is he, as opposed to last week, is he can now practice with his teammates and play in the preseason. So, you know, evidently there, you know, to hear Rappaport report before that announcement a few days ago, you know, there was paperwork, you know, from clinical resources and whatnot that was trying to make it from point A to point B. I don't know if they don't have internet still in some parts of the country. I mean, really, we live in an instant society, right?
Yeah.
Right. What the hell are you waiting for? Document or signed papers to get from point A to point B. So, to me, that didn't kind of make a lot of sense. But it is Ian Rappaport we're talking about here. But no, I don't. You know, the key is I don't think we know. We might not ever know. The Steelers don't sound like they really know that they're at the mercy of the league and the NFLPA or what have you there. So the big thing is that he's now, you know, partially fully reinstated, if you will. And here's the thing. He's not going to play. I would be surprised if he plays, you know, Friday night. But I you know, talking to Alex.
Yeah, I think he's been ruled out.
You know, talking to Alex, I would like to see him get in pads and at least go through a full pregame workout. I mean, that.
Yeah.
You know, you can at least do that with him, and then that way he's really hitting the ground running when the team resumes practice on Sunday there. So, I don't think we're going to see him. Unfortunately, a few of the rookies, James Conner, you know, I'll be shocked if he plays because of that shoulder. Keon Adams with a shoulder, and, you know, not sounding too terribly good for him. Obviously, Cameron Sutton with that hamstring. So that's three of your draft picks right there that, you know, that aren't likely to see playing time tonight.
Yeah, any concern about James Conner? I mean, you know, we talk about Le'Veon Bell and his injuries, and I brought this up before when we talk about, you know, James Conner's had some difficulties physically, and you know, we talk about you know, everything, his jersey being the number one selling jersey. You know, overcoming cancer, all of that. But James Conner's missed a lot of time. And now, since the day he's been drafted, James Conner's missed a lot of time with the Steelers.
Yeah, you know, the hamstring injury or quad or whatever it was going back in OTAs, you know, caused him to be limited there and just really going through the motions. And then, you know, so far with his shoulder injury, you know, he's warming up, but you know, he's not at the point where he's taking part in the thudding, you know, the hitting portion of practice. So there's still time for him. I'm not overly concerned about him right now. Even if he was to get back right now from this point forward and make it through the rest of the preseason, is he still going to be your opening day number two running back? You know, probably not, right?
I wouldn't think he's the number two, and I wouldn't have thought that starting camp or the injuries, none of it changes my view. I wouldn't think he'd be the number two.
I mean, obviously you would want to hopefully get him where you think he could be that in the middle of the season and on. But I think, getting a helmet right out of the chute against Cleveland and, the first couple, first 4 or 5 weeks, probably just only going to see James Conner running down the field covering kicks and punts and whatnot, So that's why I think it's important to watch this battle between Fitzgerald, Toussaint, and Nile Davis, because I think your number two to start the season is potentially right there. And who knows? D'Angelo Williams is still out there as well, too. God forbid that you should not be comfortable with anybody. You could probably get D'Angelo in, near the minimum right now to be your number two as well.
Right. And again, nobody's talking about how he's not getting reps in camp.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I wonder what he's doing on the side right now. You think he's working as hard as Le'Veon Bell is down at Bomarito Performance Systems,
Yeah, that's a good question. I wonder what D'Angelo Williams is, whether he thinks he's going to play football this year. I'm guessing he doesn't. But
no, he's been on record recently saying he will.
He wants to.
Well, he says he will. When I was a kid, I wanted to
there's a lot of wit. I will.
Yeah, I wanted to marry Heather Locklear, but that didn't work out for me.
Which one of the Charlie's Angels did you
want? Hey, I wish you could see my wife right now. My wife just flipped me off the double bird here.
which one of the Charlie's Angels did you want?
Oh, Farrah Fawcett. Farrah Fawcett.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was Keith Jackson. I was a Keith Jackson guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, exactly. Right? Same reaction I had.
No, Jacqueline Smith was number two. Kate Jackson would have been third.
Yeah, no, Kate Jackson was – and Cheryl Ladd was out.
Yeah, I didn't even – I mean, that was a little bit later there. Yeah. My wife is thoroughly enjoying this conversation between us right now.
Kate Jackson, number one for me.
Moving on into some of the guys looking forward to seeing, Dobbs, obviously, Juju Smith-Schuster, really, really looking forward to see him playing tonight. We'll see about Justin Hunter. This guy kind of cooled off here.
He's not going to go, right? Do you expect to see him?
Yeah, I mean, I put this in my post. Will Hunter even play Friday night after missing the last few training camp practices with an undisclosed injury? We'll see. Guy started off, blaze of fire here the first week and a half or so of training camp and then kind of cooled off, and obviously missing practices won't help. So if he plays, you can bet your butt, I'll be looking closely at him. B.J. Finney is another guy.
I just want to be on record, as I have been from the beginning. I still am not putting Justin Hunter on the final 53.
You're putting Sammy ahead of him still, or Darius,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
All right. B.J. Finney. Look, we know B.J. Finney can play left guard in the NFL, but we don't know he can play center yet because he looked, for lack of a better word, like crap in the few snaps that he played last season at center. So he's going to probably start and place a Pouncey tonight. And I'd like to see B.J. Finney play a good half because he really needs improvement at center. So that's worth watching tonight. Nile Davis. Yeah, we know a lot about Nile Davis during his time with the Kansas City Chiefs. But let's be honest. Last two seasons, what has Nile Davis done as a running back? And that's
I think I'm a little higher on Nile Davis. We got to see him last year. He had some not good decisions on kick returns against the Steelers last year with the Chiefs. To taking balls that were kick to the sideline at the end zone and bringing him out a couple times, and really the Steelers did a great job of containing him. But I always liked him. Now I'm going to say it wrong, right? He was at Arkansas, right? I mean, I liked him as a college back. I mean, I thought he was a pretty interesting running back, and he does have some speed. So it's going to be interesting. He might be the guy even more than Dobbs, or you know, maybe TJ, maybe Watt's the guy I'm most interested in seeing. But Manuel Davis might be number two for me.
And look, I mean, Fitzgerald Toussaint might start this game tonight at running back, but Niall Davis will be in there soon thereafter. Both those guys, I'd like to see both those guys get a little bit of work in this game, along with, you know, the Isuzu Pacific product, the nightmare Terrell Watson wrapping things up in the fourth quarter. We should see a lot of that as well there. But you know, obviously you're looking at Niall Davis as a running back, and then on kickoff returns as well too. Gerald Hawkins, he's only played like what 40 something snaps, and all of that came in the preseason opener 1 year ago, and since he hasn't played the game because of a shoulder. So if he plays, you know, he missed a few recent practices with an excused absence, but one would think he's going to play tonight. Looking forward to seeing him. Xavier Grimble, you know, needs to be a more consistent player. He's another player. Brian Mahalik, a guy who we've talked on and off on about. This is a guy that you know, probably battling for a practice squad spot, and we should see quite a bit of him at right tackle tonight. I just mentioned Terrell Watson, a guy that's going to probably be in a running for a practice squad running back spot. And then Ethan Cooper, the undrafted free agent out of IUP, should see some time at left guard tonight, and who knows, maybe some right guard as well too, and he's a practice squad candidate. Now, switching over to the defensive side of the ball, you already hit on the one name probably everybody listening to this podcast is going to be really, really keying on tonight, and that's TJ Watt. Here's the thing about Watt, David, tonight. I don't think Harrison's going to play, so I think TJ Watt's more than likely, I don't know if you give Chickalo the nod, the veteran nod over him on the right side for a couple of series, but I would like to see Watt start personally, and he'll be going up against, you know, assuming Eric Flowers starts at left tackle for the Giants.
Yeah,
you know, he's not very great. And another word,
a high pick. Wasn't he a first round pick?
He was up there. Yeah, and I mean, he really has, according to reports coming out of Giants camp, he's kind of underperformed, very inconsistent during their training camp so far. So it would be nice. What a great confidence builder it would be to go out there and just, you know, have your way.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, win your share of the battles against a guy like Eric Flowers. Okay, LT Walton. Why is a third-year player like LT Walton on this list? Quite really because he's going to be playing nose tackle tonight. You know, John Mitchell talked about him moving to nose tackle, and so that's reason enough alone to key in on LT Walton. Tyson Alulu, just because he's new and supposed to play such a big role in this defense, going to be interested to watch him Friday night. Cody Sensabaugh, much in the same boat as Alulu, a new player. And look, Sensabaugh is probably going to start opposite Ross Cockrell tonight. So, you know, I think we're going to see some fairly meaningful snaps out of Sensabaugh on the outside. Dirty Red, Tyler Matakavich, appears set to be the backup to not only Ryan Shazier, but Vince Williams. And with Ryan Shazier currently dealing with some sort of a lower body injury, I expect Matakavich to start tonight. This could be your leading tackler in tonight's game. Matakavich, either him or that kid out of Pitt, Matt Galumbos, depending on how soon he gets into the game. Anthony Chickalo. You know what it is about Chickalo. Here we got another 30-year player, David. I need more than just a training camp all-star player. You know,
and obviously that's not going to happen tonight. So,
I
look at it. He's been a preseason darling. You know, Chickalo actually did some decent things on special teams. The question is, you know, if I let me ask you this: if I asked Danny Smith, Rank these three guys on your special teams as a, to whom you'd like to have. And I said Stevie Johnson, Anthony Ciccolo, and Tyler Matakevich. What do you think he'd say?
Dirty Red would be number one.
You think so?
Yeah, just look like
I don't have a view. I don't know the answer to that because all three are seen as good special teams players. And I'm curious because I don't know the answer.
No, well, you know, the stats alone, you know, tell you that, you know, it should be that way. Hold on a minute, I'll read them off to you here real quick. As far as what it was last season, we knew Dirty Red could tackle, and he was a physical player, but boy, he really did play well on special teams last year. 12 total tackles led the team last year. Tyler Matakevich, 10 of those went down as the primary tackle, only 2 assists. That's not bad, as they say. Vince Williams was third on the team. Believe it or not, Shamarco Thomas was tied. Oh, I'm sorry. Vince and Shamarco tied for second on the or third on the team in total tackles.
By the way, Shamarco, is he in camp somewhere? He did sign with Buffalo. Is that who he signed with?
The Jets, right?
The Jets, right. Right.
Ciccolo had 5 total tackles on special teams last year. And
Stevie got hurt. So after,
right.
You know,
right. But Stevie had 6 total tackles with 5 primary before he went down in, what was it, the Cowboys game. And remember,
halfway through, right?
Right. And Stevie didn't even dress for like the first couple of weeks either. So,
yeah, so maybe the answer is not Tyler.
I would right now at this point, I'd go Tyler, Stevie, Ciccolo. And as you said, they're all three great special teams players.
Yeah. All three of them are going to make the team, right?
I don't know. You know, you can make arguments for Stevie not, but if I'm Danny Smith, I mean, we're talking about Stevie Johnson being number 52 or 53, right? You know?
Yeah, I mean, LJ is going to make the team, I think, and so
do you consider LJ a lock? I mean, look, and Alex talks LJ Ford up as well too, more so than I do, but I mean, can we really consider LJ a lock?
I think I put them all ahead of Arthur Motes. I mean, I realize, you know, we're not, you know, we're talking inside outside, but if we're just going to, you know, make a list, as great a guy as Arthur Motes is, I think all four of them make the team, but I think that's it. We just named all the inside guys and Arthur and Ciccolo are the outside guys. So
essentially, you're keeping 5 inside guys, and I'm with you on that. I mean, you would get no argument from me from this team keeping Vince, Shazier, Matakevich, Stevie Johnson, LJ Fort, and
that's it. That's 5.
Is that 5? Okay.
Stevie, Tyler, and LJ. There's 3 backups, and then you got Moses, Ciccolo, and you know, you're keeping 5. You're keeping 10 linebackers.
Right. So it comes down to Motes versus Keon Adams, probably.
Yeah, it does. Right, right.
And here's what I was talking to Alex about the other day. Arthur Motes is your highest paid linebacker on your roster right now, base salary wise.
Is he really? At what, 3.5?
No, 2.25 or something.
Wow. You're not paying your linebackers anything. That's amazing. That's a great stat. I didn't have that. That's a great stat.
I mean, think about it. I mean, Ryan Shazier is still on his rookie contract. Debo. Look, I mean, Debo will pocket more money this year with signing bonus and base salary. But if we're just looking at base salaries alone, with the players currently under contract, Arthur Motes is your highest paid linebacker, and you're talking about deciding whether or not you're going to keep him as your fifth outside linebacker.
Yeah, interesting.
So I asked Alex this: are you going to Arthur Motes and asking him to take a pay cut?
No, they don't do that. They wouldn't do that.
All right, so $2.25 million to not wear a helmet on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure he does. Yeah, well, okay, you know,
You got to admit, if this was political and this was all propaganda, I've got this down pat right now.
Well, the answer is all three of Matakevich, Chicklo.
All five of them will dress because Fort's a good.
Yeah, I think all five of them will dress.
Right,
they'll all play special teams.
Right,
I mean, Motes will make it too. He'll play special teams.
Yeah, but what you're not going to dress 10 linebackers.
I just dressed 10 linebackers. That's why Darius Hayward Bay is not making the team.
You can't. I'm not going to let you dress 10 linebackers. You can't. you can't. I mean, obviously, you can't. And here's the thing.
No, so one of the inside guys is not dressing. One of the LJ Fort maybe doesn't dress. One of the inside guys is not dressing.
I'm dressing Fort on special teams before I'm dressing Fort Moats on special teams.
Yeah, I would probably do that as well. And I guess if Chicklo's clearly ahead of Moats on the outside, then Moats is the guy who doesn't dress, and that'll be surprising. But I guess it could come down to that. I mean, look, maybe you only dress eight. And you know, one of the three inside guys doesn't dress, and most doesn't dress.
Yeah, we'll see.
So it comes back to the question, my favorite question of Moats, Gay, and Hayward Bay, who's making the team and who isn't back from February? And
I told you all along I thought Gay was, and that I Moats was last on that list for me, and DHB was somewhere right in the middle that you could see it go either way. But with Justin Hunter doing what he's doing, you know, to me personally, I think they're going to have to keep seven wide receivers in order for DHB to make it. But we'll see.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah, I'm to keeping DeMarcus Ayers over Hayward Bay, and I just, you know, look, I like the guy. Everybody likes the guy. There's a lot to like about the guy, but the upside is, you know, you're keeping a special teams player. He's not going to see the field with Juju on the team now. He's not going to see the field as a wide receiver. Martavis is back, so you know that end of story is seeing the field as a wide receiver. So how valuable is he as a special teams guy? And to me, just not viable enough.
Yeah, I mean, look, and anything can happen here during the preseason with injuries, of course, and all. That's why you don't, you know, that's why you don't cut some of these guys, you know, that you know, early on, because you need a full complement of guys here. Let me ask you, let's finish out this list of defensive players to watch. We got down through Chicklo, and I was talking about Chicklo. I want to see Chicklo move some goddamn furniture tonight. I'm sorry, you know, it's time. This is his third preseason. He's going to be playing against some furniture movers here. I want to see him start.
He's just a guy. He's just a guy.
Yeah, I want to see a little bit more than just a guy tonight. Mike Hilton, if you want to circle one guy that a lot of Steeler fans are not going to know about heading into this game, it's Mike Hilton. Now, obviously, people who listen to the show know about him, but this is a guy that really excited to see tonight, going to get a lot of burn. Johnny Maxey, we should see him in the second half. Excited to see him. Farrington Hugonen is another guy that, you know, yeah, he's not going to probably make the 53-man roster, but this could be maybe, if the team keeps Keon Adams over a guy like Arthur Moats, then Farrington Hugonen could be your practice squad outside linebacker. So look for him in the second half. And then, of course, the fifth-round draft pick, Brian Allen, the rookie out of Utah, should see quite a bit of playing time on the outside at cornerback there. So those are your 10 names from offense, 10 names for defense to keep an eye on. David, we have some great questions. And, in fact, this might be the best question we've been asked in a while. And because of that, I'm going to make you go first. from David Money on Twitter, David, Ocho Crica, OchoCrica on Twitter. He asked, if Martavis and Bell both have monster years and they both stay clean. Who would you rather sign long term?
If Martavis, sorry, give it to me one more time.
If Martavis and Le'Veon Bell both have monster years,
yeah, there's no question. I don't think either one is going to sign a long term deal with the Steelers ever. But if I had to choose who I thought was going to be the better football player, and I had to bet on character, I'm betting on Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, I would go with you as well too. And now, could you probably get Martavis at a tad bit cheaper than what Bell's asking right now? There's so many variables in this with all things. Le'Veon Bell's going to maybe cost you 12 to 14 million a season, right? If Martavis has a great year, would he even sign?
He's not going to get that.
Right. So you could probably get Martavis cheaper average yearly value. So, but then the whole question of will he stay clean? We'll learn a lot about him. Biggest thing with Martavis is we don't need him to get better. We just need him to get more consistent and a little bit more
well-rounded.
We want to see Martavis be able to take over games like he did in that a few years ago against Denver or whatnot, let's see here. Ezekiel Elliott is being suspended 6 games. How about that?
Holy cow. Schefter just wrote this morning. I was just reading a piece where he said he thought he'd be eligible week one. That ain't happening.
Suspended 6 games. So, wow, that's quite a development there. That's a great question, David Money, for sure. I would lean toward Bell as well, but I'm also in the category with David. I don't think either one of these guys ultimately see a long-term deal, but push comes to shove. I think I'd lean to Le'Veon, but I might use that one in my Friday Night Five questions here. At this point, what aspect of the team most concerns you? From Jason, looks like Jason Lowry.
Dave, for me, it's a very simple thing, and it just goes back to the playoff game against the Pats. It's the pass defense, and we can just look on the defensive side of the football of are they going to, is it the pass rush or is the guys capable of covering? And I go back to the game against Denver 2 years ago, where the Steelers carved up that Denver defense, and you said, man, that's the best pass defense in football, and the Steelers absolutely carved it up, and obviously then they played them again in the playoffs. You say you can do things. And so when I think about the Steelers and what they're doing, the whole thing is it scheme, is it talent, whatever. They just have to be better. Against the Patriots defending against a pass game. And I don't know if TJ Watt's going to make the difference. I've been a huge fan of Bud Dupree. I thought he was great when he got back on the field last year. So I'm a big fan of Artie Burns and Sean Davis and what those guys are capable of doing. So I expect to see a big step forward for the Steelers defensively this year. But are they going to be a team that we talk about in week 12, where we're talking about one of the 5 best teams in the NFL against the pass? That's what they need to be.
Yeah, I would go along with you right there. The biggest thing is to me still the pass rush. Can they get more out of the pass rush with less guys doing it and consistently at that? So rolling up numbers against Cleveland does not count. Okay. Right. And be honest with you, I think you might be able to add Cincinnati to that group of teams this year as well, too. Where did all their offensive linemen go, David? Look, they all count, obviously. And what better way to get wins than against divisional opponents? You're going to need that this year. But we just need to see on a week-in, week-out basis, can this pass rush consistently not only get pressure but finish as well, too? So that would be you can make that secondary look so much better if you're getting pressure. And we could be talking about, you know, oh, how great the secondary is, but I think it's only going to be because of the pressure. So that's another good, yeah, good question as well, too. Here's a good one from our buddy Deesh on Twitter, D-E-E-S-H. Which would be better news tonight? Bud Dupree with a bend the end sack against first team, or T.J. Watt with two bend the edge sacks against second stringers? That's creative.
Give me TJ with two.
Yeah, give me a nice Bud Dupree around the edge, total, you know, 45 degree angle bend, the ankle flexibility and all. Give me a good, I'll sign up for a good screenshot and GIF of that right now, Deesh.
All right, fair enough.
Let's see, from Adam Grego. If Dobb plays lights out these next 4 weeks, do you think Pittsburgh will commit to developing him as their heir apparent? Yeah, they want to see what he's obviously going to do in these next four games, but you're going
to – let's be clear about this.
You're going to develop him either way.
Right. You're going to – yeah, it's not a commitment issue. The Steelers are going to develop every guy on the roster as best they can.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't think it changes how the way you handle them, just based on four preseason games. You're gonna try to bring them along just like you did Landry Jones. And in fact, a year from now, this time next year, we could be talking about Joshua Dobbs playing 230 preseason snaps. Look, I understand the excitement about Dobbs. Nobody's looking more forward to watching him play tonight than I am, probably. But we're not going to probably see Joshua Dobbs ever again after the Carolina preseason game. Right. You know, as well, at least we hope we don't. From Nick, a very similar question. When Dobbs shines tonight, will there be any problems with him leapfrogging Jones? I'll be shocked if Dobbs is your number two. You know, you know, it's going to take injury or whatnot for that to happen. Yeah, Landry Jones is in an abdominal strain right now, but I think Dobbs has a nice game, and like you alluded to earlier in the podcast, Dave, what I wrote on Twitter, if Dobbs has a good game tonight against the Giants, Twitter's going to go absolutely nuts. If Dobbs has a bad game against the Giants tonight, Twitter's going to go absolutely nuts. And somebody replied back, what if Dobbs has a meh game against the Giants tonight? Well, Twitter's going to go nuts deciding what
how to evaluate him.
What side of meh he was.
Right.
Look, just enjoy. How does Mike Thomas say it? Enjoy the process. You know, that's
right.
That's what everybody needs to do tonight. Enjoy the process here tonight. We'll have plenty of breakdowns. All right, so bold. Give me three bold statistical bold predictions tonight.
Okay. Nile Davis with 80 yards rushing, 80 plus.
Okay.
Juju with six catches and a touchdown. And Steeler defense with five sacks.
All right, that's fair. I'm going to go with two sacks for T.J. Watt tonight. I'm going to go with Joshua Dobbs will have a run, a scramble run, longer than 50 yards. That's pretty bold.
If 50.
Longer 50. 50 or longer.
Holy cow. All right.
Now, if I hit that, this goes into some sort of Hall of Fame.
That's Powerball. Yeah, Powerball.
All right. One other one here. You know what? I'll go with something I hinted at earlier in the week. I think Pitt backup linebacker, you know, the Pitt kid, Matt Galambos, the inside linebacker, when the dust clears tonight, leads the team in total tackles.
All right. I like the double digits. Is it 10 tackles?
All right, so those are my three. So we'll see how we did at, you know, next, when we talk on, let's see, when will it be? Monday, I guess, about this game here. So, all right, good show. I you know me, David, I'm excited. I'll watch every minute of this game tonight. We'll I'll break down for you what you choose not to watch.
I'll get all of it tonight, for sure.
All right, sounds good. All right, folks, you can follow me on Twitter, at Steelers Depot. You can follow David Todd on Twitter, at David M. Todd. You can follow the show at Terrible Podcast. You can email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to donate to the show, go to SteelersDepot.com. Hit that donate button, upper navigational bar. David, have a great night and a great weekend.
Yeah, enjoy the game. And as always, thanks for listening to The Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.